Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
We're back.
Yes.
Another episode. 2 weeks later of Winona Forever. This episode, we were talking about something totally different. It's not a movie. It's a TV miniseries, an HBO series called Show Me a Hero. It's six-parter.
It sure was. Did you have to watch the whole six-parter in like one sitting?
Like three sittings.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, I mean,
two and two and two.
You know, no, it was one, three, and three. No, it was like one, two, and three, or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So three was today. Oof, I mean,
what a day.
Maybe it was not today. This is about, this is a true story. It's a six-part true story, and it's a political drama about the housing crisis in New York, and it involves Yonkers, this little city of little town of Yonkers in New York, getting public or community housing in the town.
Yes.
And the politics around it. And over the years, from 1998, I believe, until 1993 or two.
Sorry? Oh, 1980.
80,
something.
Sorry. 88, like, maybe? 88 is when the...
Yeah, it's like 87 started. Or 88 or something that I think it covers. Oh, I lost the idea.
And it focuses around Nick...
Wasisko.
Wasisko. And he runs for mayor. And at one point, at the beginning of the... I think in the first episode, he runs for mayor. And... he gets elected because he says he's going to appeal the notion of people, of the community housing. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when he's elected, that does not happen. People are very angry, yada, yada. Winona Ryder is a council person.
Yes.
She's on the council.
Yep.
City council. I think... representing the Bronx or something. I couldn't really figure
out. The Bronx
no.
a whole other
it's
thing.
It's a whole other thing, but there was something about the Bronx she mentioned. Anyway, it was confusing to me what she was actually doing at the first bit.
I don't think I ever wrote down what neighborhood she was. I don't know that we knew. Maybe we did. Maybe it said on her name. Oh, yeah. She was the 11th ward rep. Oh, there
right,
we go.
There was a ward at the Bronx. She was a ward
Yonkers,
rep.
Yonkers.
Good old Yonkers.
Yeah. But I have to say, I don't really know where that is. Do you?
It's in a song by Jay-Z.
Okay.
And Alicia Keys. New York, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Harlem, Yonkers. Yonkers is mentioned in there.
Okay. So it's in there. We don't know exactly its
And I know someone from Yonkers.
Sweet. There was a lot of... Springsteen in this. It was like a fully Springsteen.
It was like a tribute to Springsteen almost.
Which made me go, isn't he Jersey?
Yeah, but so he was like Yonkers the working. It's
that?
Kind of like the
know.
Same mentality.
Yes, sure.
You know?
Yeah. Anyways. Either Wasisko loved
he really
Springsteen
did,
or in
stuff?
General Springsteen was the soundtrack of their lives.
It's a bit of both,
yeah,
I think.
Totally.
wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very, there's a lot. I mean, it's six parts.
It's six
and
parts.
And each one is like an hour, so
it's a
lot of things happen. And we just watched a thing that was a political, like, not The Experimenter, but the one before it, the Turks and Caicos was all,
yes,
like, political, underhanded stuff.
Schemy
stuff. There was a little bit of schemy stuff in this. I feel like it was mostly just showing that politics sucks.
Yeah.
Being in politics sucks. Trying to do good things within politics sucks.
It doesn't work.
Nobody's really selfless either. Like,
I have a problem. I don't know. Like, I was really hung up on the fact that this was called Show Me a Hero. And I'm like, so who's the hero? Because Wasisco's not the hero.
No.
So that's, what's the actor's name?
He's like an anti-hero. I think that's
Oscar Isaacs plays Wasisco. Yeah. I mean, in the end, he tries to do the right thing, but only because he's kind of forced to. Though, obviously, there's other people on the council that don't try to do the right thing, even when they're basically being forced to. The right thing being like
he wanted the housing to succeed, and he wanted to.
Yeah, he did once he was forced, because he did run on the premise that he was gonna fight the housing, and then when he kind of tried to fight it, they were like, "Okay, well, we're gonna fine you $100 a day, doubling every day until you're completely bankrupt." And they said something like it was going to take 22 days or something to bankrupt them at that rate. It was crazy.
He was trying to get everybody else to also vote too. Like, a lot of it was him like, okay, fuck, you know, this is not going to be an easy battle, because these guys don't want this.
Yeah.
They're all fucking racist and they don't want this.
Or their constituents are, and they know that they to get elected.
Their votes. Yeah. And they promised their constituents that they would vote certain ways, and they're all hands are tied, you know, God, you know. God forbid, you know, they have housing for people.
Yeah. The amount of times that people said those people when they were talking about who was going to move into the neighborhood was horrifying.
Yeah. And there was a, you know, but there was a cool, you know, the guy, like the Jewish man who was like
the beardy Jewish man
who, who like kind of said, you know, these are the statistics. This is what will work. Give them yards, you know, let them
give them outdoor space, give them their
be humans,
own,
you know,
ownership of the stuff.
Yeah. I'm
trying to find the actor who played him so that I can also find the name of that, because they're all real people. So I don't know. Was he an architect? He had something that his like vision was part of what made it. Like
yeah, and
land,
it was one of these films at the end, you find out what happened to all these people.
Right.
So they give you like, Bob Smith went on and died in 2019, but he still fought for human rights. And but it wasn't quite like that. And there was no voice. I don't know.
He was in way more episodes. I should have found him by now, but maybe he doesn't look. Maybe I'm looking for the beard. Oh, he was right there. He was like the third person on the list. Peter Reigert.
Oh, that was him.
Oscar Newman is who he played. He's in
different.
Every single episode. I enjoyed too, because at the end, let's just jump to the end. No, at the end, they show side by sides of everybody, and he looked the most like the guy he was playing. Like, that guy had that exact beard.
Yep.
It was perfect.
Accurate.
But, like, everybody else didn't look it. Like, Oscar Isaacs looks nothing like the dude that
he looked
playing.
Like someone from The Big Chill, and also did his wife, girlfriend.
Like the actors did?
Like yeah.
Oscar Isaacs.
Or, like, just her look.
Nay. Her name was Nay.
Nay's like look was in The Big Chill, Alex's girlfriend, she looked exactly like her, and it was just
interesting.
It was, for me, it was like so similar, but I haven't seen The Big Chill in a while, but for me
it is it the same
me.
Time period
80s
yeah.
I mean Big Chill was early 80s
yeah.
but still the same
earlier.
Like the hair, I think, maybe.
sure I found it strange that Catherine Keener played such an old lady.
Oh, my God. I was like, why on earth? Why?
Like, there's old ladies who are good actors.
It was insulting to Catherine Keener to, like, even take that role. Like, what, shouldn't she, like...
Yeah, like, okay, so we have, you know, gone, this is, 45 episodes in, and we, like, very early on figured out that Winona, like, that women in acting, which I think we knew before doing this, but, like, it was proven to us that women hit a certain age, and they can either date men that are, like, 50 years older than them, or, like, whatever, and so
they're
Catherine
either
Keener,
a mother or
or a
whore, basically,
right.
A nun or a whore, right?
And so Catherine Keener can only play somebody who's, like, I don't know,
70?
80? Yeah, exactly.
80, maybe?
She might not have been 80. She had, like,
she was
full-on
like
gray hair. She was totally
lady.
Retired, at least.
And, you know, not to be, like, ageist, but, like, or it's, like, the opposite of ageist. Like, cast someone, you know, who's that age to
Well,
play
exactly.
the role.
It's
like,
two things. It's Catherine Keener can't play somebody her own age, and somebody that person's age
can't
be given a role.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't win. Women can't win.
No.
And so this was the situation. Catherine Keener played this very old lady, and she was like the kind of at the beginning, very, very against the community housing, and she was, you know, very vocal in the this council meetings.
Yeah, a lot of yelling,
getting kicked out, calling calling Nick and names and stuff like that.
Yeah, saying that it's like kind of established that his father maybe was in politics before, and his father's dead. So she says like your father would be ashamed of you or whatever, and so that's why he kicks her out of that council thing.
Right,
she held that at him.
Mm-hmm.
She's like. She's the person who is like vocally against the housing, but then anytime anybody like throws in something that's clearly like racist about why they don't want the housing, she's like, oh no, like that's not where I'm going with this. I just think that people should like pay for the, like, they're not going to care about their property. Like all the stuff that's still racist. But like when people say things that she is like,
directly
oh shit,
racist,
she's like, no. So she has this face throughout like, where it's like, she's wondering racism. If she's right on the right side of this thing.
Yeah. She's lost a lot of the time puzzled. She's like, wait, what are you saying? Am I here or there?
Right.
And then, you know, towards the end, she kind of like, you know, starts representing the community housing people and starts
meets the actual people
them and gets to know them,
sees that they're families
and tries to empower them.
Yeah.
Kind of turns around completely. But it takes a lot of time. It takes that, like that guy coming to her house, and like first she couldn't like talk to him with the door open. He came down and he had, you know, they had tea and a civilized conversation. And then she was like, oh, wait a minute. What am I doing? I think it was that conversation that really turned her around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that guy was.
He was, I don't know his name or anything, but he was the guy who was like tasked with representing the housing plan or whatever and like bringing the community on board. But I feel like he was chosen. He was a black man and he was like, I don't know. He was trying to show the white community that like the community that is moving in aren't what they think. And I don't know. It was a weird like respectability kind of, I don't know if respectability politics is a word, is a term, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
Cause he was like, when he was in her house, he like dusted away crumbs and she looked like, oh, like I don't know. I was very uncomfortable by the whole thing because it was very much like, look, people aren't going to, you think all the black people are going to come here and make a mess, but I'm cleaning up my crumbs.
Exactly. Oh,
and
good.
She's like, good.
You're a good black person.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah, her getting
felt
her
like
approval.
His purpose.
Yeah, getting the white person's approval. Yeah,
and then he also had to stand in that meeting and say to all the people who were moving into the community, who were all people of color, like, "You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. You have to get along with the
this
white."
This is
neighbors.
How you have to tie your garbage bags.
Yeah,
which was really fucked up. All sorts of things.
And then somebody stood up and was like, "Are all the white people learning how to?" Be our neighbors?
Yeah, that was.
They're like, no. And then he's like, well, do you want to move there? Because it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of like, yeah, we want to move there. And
it's not going to be better. It's just going to be different.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was, you know, accurate. Yeah. And they were all so terrified at night.
That was so upsetting.
And like fair, like
totally
every
fair.
Sound, like, oh fuck, you know.
They thought people were going to come and
sleeping
get them.
Sleeping with knives under the pillows, you know, with bats, like I've still, you know, do
they
that.
They potentially knew that the place was bombed before they moved there, right? Like, didn't somebody blow up like
yeah, there
one
was
of
a
the
pipe
houses?
Bomb. That's so
it.
There was already threats and there was people calling them words from cars and, you know, just not nice.
I was
not a nice welcoming people staring at them.
I really knew that something big was going to happen at the end of this, but I thought it was going to be like someone bombing the houses or like something. So, because every time they like hinted at somebody, like the old blind lady, when she, like her daughter was taking her out, there was a few times where she was about to leave and then somebody like talked to her and she went back inside. And I'm like, oh no, is she going to die? Like, is something going to happen?
I was so
house?
Concerned for that. Like, actually, when we first started watching this and she lost her eyesight, I was like, I was about to turn it. Like, my instinct was to turn it off and like, fuck this, I don't want to watch it. But I had to watch this because
you thought something bad was going to happen to
her. And I was just like, no, I can't deal with like eyesight. It's just too close to home. There was just like, it's too scary. I don't know. I have bad eyes. It just was like, fuck this. I don't want to watch this.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, I just got to watch this thing. And it was just, it was really hard to watch. Like, not just because of this, but because like the politics and the, you know, the whole, it was just not nice. It was really it really sucked for a lot of people.
First two episodes were really hard to watch, I found, because there was so many city hall meetings and there was so much yelling, and
so
they could
yelling.
Not say anything in those meetings because people would not stop yelling, and there was just so much.
It was
like,
so stressful. It was so stressful.
I was so stressed and frustrated. But it was also that like they're yelling things at him like, you're a liar, you're like a coward, you're not fighting this. And he's like, he doesn't say it, but like ultimately he's like, I've fought it as long as I can. Like, if I don't stop fighting it, this whole city is going to go bankrupt. Yeah. Do you want that instead? And like, I just really felt like nobody was understanding what was happening because they were unwilling to listen.
Yes, of course. They were all unwilling to listen. They were all being assholes.
Yes.
And it was so frustrating. And like, you can like,
it.
You know, and at the end, you kind of understand why you're watching this, because it leads up to his own, like, you know, self-destruction, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, everything happens very quickly because it is 87 to like mid-90s or something that this covers, six mm-hmm. episodes. So he's like mayor for a second. I think the mayor, what is it? The mayorality, whatever it is, the mayor position.
Yeah.
What title? Do you call it when someone has the title of mayor?
Mayoral.
Anyway, I know mayoral is a word, but that's not quite what I'm looking for. Anyways, him having whatever the position of mayor only lasts 2 years, and because of him, they change it to 4 years. So there's this whole like strong mayor thing that he like created, mm-hmm. And then he doesn't get to be mayor again. But the person who's mayor after him, who was also only for 2 years, so I guess it hadn't come into play yet, is, what's his name? What's the actor's name? Alfred Molina, who plays Hank Spallone, who was the worst.
Oh,
he was the guy who
always had his
feet up, and he was always voting against the housing and always saying, those people, and they don't care about their property, and they're going to ruin your neighborhood.
He was the worst.
He was just the... I hated every minute of him. Okay, so this all leads up to the main character, Oscar Isaacs, plays killing himself at the end of the whole thing. And even at the funeral, they show him like walking around, oh, I'm so sorry to people. And then like joking with some guys off to the side. And they all look at him like, you're a piece of shit. Like, this is not the time and place to joke
about something.
He's
just a rotten human.
You can't hear what they're saying because it's just music and they're like saying what everybody did with their lives. But
you know he's not saying something.
You know
nice.
That this... Yeah. Movie thought he was a piece of shit too, because they really made him.
Yeah,
he was a horrible guy.
He went on to die in 2003 or something.
Yeah, he went on to die. A lot of these people are dead. But yeah, did you know that with Cisco was? When did you sense that he was gonna kill himself, or did you not?
Not until it happened. Yeah, not at all.
So they kept.
And then I was like, what is the emergency? What's going on? Because this all like was leading up to, you were about to say this, probably.
Yeah, go say
the
it.
Cemetery scene. He was in the cemetery at his dad's tomb, and his beeper was on the dashboard, and it kept saying 911, 911, 911. And I was, you know, panning to his girlfriend or wife or whatever, texting him this, and you're like, what is going on?
So texting him on his pager?
Oh my god.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah,
Phoning from her
because I don't know how pagers work.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
Meeps has
it's
a pager.
Totally.
Actually.
Really?
Up for the midwifery. Do
right. So medical people are
Ruby too.
Oh, medical people still medical use pagers. People,
beep, beep.
Good to know. Beep, medical people, beep, beep. I like it.
There you go.
It's a good term. Yeah, so that pager thing, they showed it in a number of episodes, and I was like, okay, this clearly happens at the end. What is the emergency? And I started to think towards the end, the emergency is something happened with the housing, like somebody blew it up or something bad
happened. Something bad happened to somebody.
But no. What was even the reason? She was just paging him because she was worried about him, I guess, because she'd had lunch with him and he was like, please stay with me today. Please stay with me.
Yeah, I get. I don't know.
Or maybe the brother called because he like took off on the brother, right? He was at their house.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
The brother phoned her.
Brother was probably worried about him, and then she was just like, "Yo, get back to me." And then she started getting worried, like,
"Call me." The worst is he looked before he left the car, and he saw that she had phoned him, mm-hmm. and he just left his car,
mm-hmm.
barfed outside of his car, then went to his dad's grave and hung out there until he met a man who like worked on the grounds and was like, "We're closed soon." And he's like, "Don't worry, I'm gonna go in a minute."
Mm-hmm.
And then that man walked away and he shot himself.
Yeah, he had a little gun in his boot.
Yeah. Yeah, I even got to the point where they were all at a funeral at the end, and I was like, whose funeral is this? But I was, because he hadn't shot himself yet.
And I was like, so wait, who's this? And
who's
I was
dead?
Like, is this for the white lady? First, I thought it was for Catherine Keener. I was like, this is such a big funeral for her.
I thought it was for the beardy man, but he was at the funeral. Because the reason I thought it was for him is because it showed on the screen what he did with his life. And I was like, but isn't that guy who's in the funeral? What? Whose funeral? And then, of course, they show the wife and mother and brother all crying. And I'm like, shit, it's him. Oh, no.
There were so many levels to this series, like all these different parallel stories. Like you have the people that are, you know, going to be using community housing, people that need community housing, the people that like are desperate for community housing.
Yeah.
That family, that woman who had to go to the Dominican Republic, send her kids there, and then she came back. And
I really
she had
thought
to get
something bad
back.
Was going to happen to her kids.
I thought something terrible was going to happen to her. Oh my God.
I also wondered, like, okay, is something bad going to happen to her kids because she left them behind? Not because, but like, will she feel like it was her fault she left them behind? But then I was like, oh, she's decided to bring them back. Now is something bad going to happen here? And then she'll like regret that decision.
I was just like so nervous the whole time. And the director's Paul Haggis. He did, you know, Crash and other horrible
things where horrible things happen.
Didn't he do like Total Recall?
Well, we don't know. No.
That's Paul Verhoeven. It was another Paul. Anyway.
All the Pauls. I'm checking out Paul Haggis. Crash. Bunch of things I don't know. Oh, Million Dollar Baby, but he was the writer. I don't know.
Oh, and if you write that, you missed.
Yeah, he's like mostly listed as a writer of things, but I know him as a director. But I guess he's written more than he's directed. Which tends to be the case.
That movie's so strange.
Let me scroll until I find what he actually directed. Oh, I hate it. I hate the phone version of IMDb because you literally have to scroll to everything. Okay.
Yeah, they messed it up. They really did a number on this thing.
Crash. Crash is the
first
thing that he's done like TV shows.
Right. Yes.
But in the Valley of Ela or something is a movie that he did. But wow, weird. For someone whose name I know, he's done one thing I've seen as a director anyway. Yeah. Other than this now, this is the second thing, I guess. Show me a hero.
Crash was such a big bummer. Movie when it came out. Yeah, no, a bummer as well.
Yeah, it was. It was nominated for things that I don't remember if it won.
This because it had all these different parallel stories, different classes, different races, doing the same things.
He liked big, like, complicated stories. Yeah.
Yeah. The drug, whatever.
Jim Belushi was mayor before Wasisco became mayor.
Speaking of the drugs.
Speaking of random people who were in this. I'm just trying to look at my notes now to see what else I thought. I mean, I guess we should talk about Winona, huh?
Yeah.
She was barely, like, she was in four episodes, I think.
Yes. I only have her down. I have her down only for, I have her down for five, but I guess she wasn't in part four. I don't think she was in part four, but
she was. Yeah. I think she wasn't in part three and four.
I wrote No Winona, Vote, yeah. Gets a House, Bruce Springsteen. For those are my notes for number three.
Nice. I'll tell you what my notes were for number three. The Catherine Keener character, are they trying to humanize the view that lower income people don't care about their properties? Because that seemed to be, it seemed a lot like they're like, oh, but she's a nice lady. It's just like, no, she's horrible.
Yeah.
Anyways. Beginning of episode three, I wonder if he's going to... Oh, yeah. So I kind of wondered if him buying, like, episode three with Cisco was like, I have always wanted to buy this house. And it was kind of like, seemed like a money pit type house. Like, nobody was buying it. It was kind of run down. It was a beautiful house, had a nice view.
Good view.
But I was like, is he going to buy this house? And then he's going to stop being mayor. And then, everything's just going to fall apart around him. His whole life's going to fall apart as well as this house. Mm-hmm. Like, this house will be a symbol of his life.
And it
didn't quite happen. I mean, his life fell apart, but the house wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but there was a lot of, like, montages with him trying to be, like, a repair handyman.
Yeah, I mean, he was still fixing up the house when he went and died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That house was never going to fix itself. Yeah. But, and he tried. He tried, but he wasn't very good. I think that was a result. He was just not a good handy person. No. Which is why he kept wanting to go back into
politics. I thought he was going
to
electrocute himself when he was playing with all those wires.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, you were trying to do the outlet, but you didn't turn the fuse box off. And he was just playing.
He was just trying to turn on the switch. I know.
Oh, Lord.
A lot of things seemed like they were going to, like, obviously, some things go well, some things don't, but like I really thought there'd be more horrible things that were gonna happen and didn't happen.
That's probably for the best.
I'm just
the Winona stuff. So like she was a politician, they were friends. In part five, he kisses her drunkenly.
Yes.
And that was it. That was the only, like, weirdness between them, I believe.
Well, except for then when he tries to get her job and then right.
Yes, but, like, in terms of sexual tension,
weirdness, yeah.
They were buddies, and then he basically ran for her position at council, and he lost. And they lost their friendship because of it.
Yeah, I mean, they would have lost their friendship if he won, too, right?
Like, right. Well, either way.
But the whole move was bad.
Well, because he ran. He was a piece of shit. He shouldn't have done that. But he was...
Yeah, he was desperate to get back in. And he kept doing whatever that...
Because he wanted to run for mayor, and he didn't because he was convinced otherwise, because he was going to let somebody else do it.
Yeah, someone else convinced him that he was a better shot for the Democrats, which is very interesting that mayors have allegiances to a party.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a... But I guess with Giuliani, he's a Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, they're not in parties. They're not officially part... Like, you can tell if someone's more conservative or more liberal or whatever, but they're not. They're not. They don't have an allegiance to a party.
No.
Anyway. There you go. Some things we learned. But yeah, so he's told that that's the Democratic candidate or whatever for mayor, and he should just get behind him instead of running against him. So he does it and regrets it immediately because they don't keep their promises to him that they'll like give him a good position or whatever. And so, yeah, that's why I guess in the end, they keep, like, stabbing him in the back, even though he does what they tell him to do. So then he tries to stab them in the back, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and then nothing works for him. And there's, like, an investigation out because of him, even though he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
There was some sort of thing at the end there.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what that was about, but it seemed like it was, like, I don't know if it was an embezzlement thing, but it was some kind of, like, looking into some committee to see if there was shenanigans happening within that committee. And he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. You're just like now ruining my reputation on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. That was a really sad scene where he's crying upstairs in his house when his brother's downstairs.
And he calls his name, but like quietly because he's
Mike, like, help me.
Yeah.
Thing. I know. It was so sad.
Shame.
So Oscar Isaacs was good, I'd say, in this.
Yeah. He was really good. He had a good look. He had a good 80s look.
That's true. He did have a good 80s look. I thought his wife, Carla Quevedo or something, was good in it. Mm-hmm. Winona was good, too. I thought, like, she had kind of a Jersey accent or something on.
She did have an accent, but it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't bad. Yeah, it worked.
It wasn't distracting.
She seemed like the character she was, like a tough.
She was good.
Political woman. I guess she did. Did she?
Yeah, she talked about them? Her kids. Yeah, she goes, I got my kids. I was like, you got your kids? All right.
Yeah. She was good at debating him when she was saying, I forget what she was saying, but she was just like, you don't know anything about this job. she was good. Mm-hmm. I wrote down this. I get in episode 6, I don't remember what they were talking about, but I guess Cisco was complaining to her. Somebody was complaining to her about a guy who didn't end up, who like promised, I guess, to help with something and then ended up turning his back. And then she says, it's not like the old days when a white guy stays bot. Oh. Okay. I was like, what? Okay. What? Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Oh, and then when they showed the real Vinny, so her name was Vinny in this. Mm-hmm. When they showed the real Vinny, it looked more like Alex Borstein. Do you know who I'm talking about when I say that? She is in that Marvelous Ms. Maisel show.
Oh.
She's also sometimes on Gilmore Girls. Here she is. Alex Borstein.
Oh, yes.
That's
exactly
what that woman looked like. When they did the side-by-side, I was like, shit, they could have had Alex Borstein. It would have been perfect. But
they should have.
Anyway, she also could have. She already has basically that voice.
But it was cool to see.
Rona was good at it.
Yeah, she was good. And it was really like a progressive film, I think. And to see her in a progressive film was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of her good lines was, fuck Nick Longo, he should get ass cancer. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. In episode 2. He was one of the people who was against the housing.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was, she was on the side of the housing, which was good.
Yep.
What's his name? The actor who played the judge. We all know him.
The little
guy.
Lee, he was, you know, in Seinfeld.
He was in Seinfeld?
Yeah. He's NBC executive.
That's right.
He falls in love with Elaine.
I can't think of his name right now. I can always think of his name in most instances. Bob Balaban, guys.
Bob Balaban. And yeah, he's in Best in Show.
Yeah. He's great. And it was nice to be able to like him in this. Because he was a good. He was the one who was like, I don't care. You guys can come back anytime you want, but I'm going to tell you, you have to build this house.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool judge.
Yeah. I don't care if I bankrupt your city. I like Alfred Molina in most cases, but it was hard to, obviously, impossible to like him. He was a jerk, which is fine. You got to play a jerk sometimes. Yeah. And I'm sure some of the non-political actors, I didn't know them as much. They weren't as famous. The people who played the people who like lived in public housing, they were not as famous as the people who played the politicians, right?
Yeah.
But they were great.
Yes. The woman who played the mother with the kids in Dominican Republic and stuff, she was like,
oh my gosh,
she was like a supermodel.
I know. You're right.
I was like, why are you like working on this wood stuff? Get a modeling contract.
Yeah.
That was my thought.
Yeah. I also wondered, because she didn't get into the housing, right? Like, she got on like really
way
back on the waiting list. And I thought, too, it was just adding to my feeling that something bad was going to happen at the housing.
There was so much dread in this show. And it was just, you know, too much. My jet lag, everything else.
That's why I wondered if you binged this, and I was like, this is a heavy thing to binge.
Yes, and I watched, like, on the flight, I watched, like, 3 movies, per, you know.
Yeah, of course you
would. You just have to, and then I've just been, like, consuming a lot of, and then there'll be elections, and so there was just, like, oh, fuck.
Did you vote before you left?
Yeah.
Wasn't the pre?
I did a special early road.
Mm-hmm. So special. Good for you. I was thinking, because I was thinking you got back on election day. So I was like, how in the hell? That'd be crazy. Yeah, you don't want to land and then go stand in a long line.
Nope.
No. Good. No. Good job. I also voted early, but just in the normal early time.
Yeah.
Frame.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, well, it didn't work. Anyway.
No. No.
On that note, this was something.
Yeah, politics. It was. Lord. Just checking to see. I wrote, disgusting white people talking about property values. That's pretty much what the whole first part of this was.
It was so loud. It was just so, like, it was so stressful. It was good, ultimately, but, like, stressful.
Oh, so here's the thing that I wondered. I wrote down this. So, Catherine, you know, like we said, Catherine Keener was recruited to the, like, team of, like, people who lived in the neighborhood who were, like, integrating the, like, public housing people into the neighborhood or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The other white lady that was with her, the other, like, old white lady that was with her, she was like, oh, I grew up in public housing, but we took care of our property because we're white. That's what she said. And then walked away. And then Catherine Keener stood there like, oh, my God. And I wrote down, it was like, that's what made her realize that she was racist. Like, that did it. I don't know. I felt like there were so many moments in this where she could have realized
it. A lot.
But that moment seemed to be the right face on her. Like, oh, shit.
Apparently, Winona Ryder cut her eyelashes for her part for this city councilwoman.
What?
After writer David Simon, sweet-mannered, said they made her look too endearing.
Hmm.
Weird.
Her eyelashes made her too... Well, I know, like, was the woman not, like...
Was she not supposed to be, like... I mean,
she was like a hard ass or whatever. Yeah, but like,
what are the eyelashes going to do? That's just like,
that's bizarre.
That's just some male bullshit.
Cut her eyelashes. I've never heard of such a thing. Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was shot in 75 days. Mm-hmm. One of the bar scenes with Oscar Isaac and Winona Ryder was filmed on location at Burke's Bar and Restaurant in Yonkers. Burke's, however, did not open until 2001. So,
right.
That's.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure if you're from there or like were around during this, you'd have so many opinions on like what actually happened versus what happened in it and like what was continuity, like accurate. I don't know, but I have no idea. I didn't know about this story before.
Me neither.
I'm sure there are so many stories like it to be told. I kind of wonder what made this be the one. You know what I mean? I'm sure like lots of places have tried to have public housing.
It was based on a book.
Yes.
Yeah, nonfiction by Lisa Belkin or something like that.
Maybe it was the first of its kind to have the type of public housing where they actually integrated it into neighborhoods instead of it being like ghettoized. I do not. Maybe that's.
Did you know? Like, do you think some of the Bruce Springsteen songs were covers?
I did wonder that
because it didn't sound quite like him.
I think there was one time where I thought it really didn't sound like him, and I put on, what's that app where you check the song?
Shazam.
I Shazammed it, and it said it was him.
Oh,
so. Usually it'll tell you who's doing the cover if it's the cover. So
okay.
It was him. So I was like, okay, I just don't know what his voice sounds like, I guess. There was definitely songs that came up that were Springsteen songs that I was like, I forgot about this song. Because I guess they were like 90s
Everybody's
songs or whatever.
Got a hungry heart.
That could have been one of them. There was one that I thought was going to be Streets of Philadelphia. And I was like, why are they playing Streets of Philadelphia in Yonkers?
Oh my God.
And it was not that song. It was a different song.
Oh, they should have.
Anyways. I don't know. Now I don't remember what song it was. Could have been that one that you just sang.
Everybody's got a hungry heart.
Yep.
Hungry Heart. Chris is going to go play it, I think.
He's running.
He's running. His ideas. Oh, oh dear. Oh,
I don't know.
He started something.
He's dancing.
He has many Bruce Springsteen records. That's all I know.
And oh, you thought he was running to get a record?
Yeah. I think he might be.
Cool. Oh, Winona. So, yeah, she's like decidedly moved into television and television movies. Okay. Around this time, don't
Different.
You think?
Yeah,
we've got like Stranger like Things.
From this. Never being in television, apart from like Friends, to this, then yeah, this is something different.
A little something different. Oh, a single, Hungry Heart.
Hungry Heart single.
What?
Ooh, 7-inch. Woo, woo.
She post a picture of that on Instagram or something so that people can see what we're talking about. yeah, you know, just be like, we just talked about this.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
I could post it on Facebook.
Oh, no. Destination. Is that next? Destination Wedding?
No, no. Stranger Things is next.
That's what I
Season
thought.
Okay. One of Stranger Things is next. Ooh. I love that you're just like dreading getting to Destination Wedding. Probably mostly dreading having to watch it again, right?
Yeah, well, maybe it'll be different.
Maybe it'll change as a movie.
Maybe it'll change.
Maybe. Maybe it's edited. Maybe it's been like edited since we last watched.
It gets better over time. I don't know.
I don't think so. We will see. Cool. So, yeah, Stranger Things Season 1 is next. I have to rewatch it. I've watched, like, one episode. I have a ways to go.
I rewatched it recently. I have to do it again.
Oh, shit, man.
But, like...
It's a lot of watching it.
No, no, it's fine. I'm okay. Gonna, like... It'll be fine.
Cool. Same. I really had to cram this one in. This was a...
Oh, this was
long.
Rough. Yeah.
So, it's gonna be fun. All right. Stranger Things. I'm sure everybody's been anticipating it for a while, especially throughout the 2000s when we were like, another crappy movie.
That's all what, you know, a lot of people, the youth, you know, will only know Winona from is from Stranger Things.
True.
Some people are like, oh, the girl from
I wondered
Stranger
that.
Things.
Chris and I spoke in a class at work about podcasting, and we talked about this podcast in preface, and I thought, I wonder how, if anybody in this class knows who we're talking about.
Once a millennial, asked that question. Once a millennial thought my tattoo was in reference to Winona Judd.
Why would they specifically know Winona Judd and not Winona
Ryder?
She
said that she liked Double Jeopardy, which... Oh, that was Ashley
That's
Judd.
That's Ashley Judd.
I don't know.
Maybe just, she's just from knowing that.
She's just
an likes
idiot.
The whole family.
She's just a complete idiot.
No.
She's fine. She's not even listening.
She's
a lawyer.
She's a lawyer. Wow. Yeah. I mean, people at so Chris and I work at a university, and the students there don't know who Nicolas Cage is either. Some of them don't. Some of them are excited and that I've written this book, but what's wrong with you?
I'm just getting upset. That's just me.
That
getting...
they don't know what Nicolas Cage is.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Come on.
And
come on, youth.
I've had two.
Step it up.
Say millennials and Xennials. Gen Z don't listen to podcasts. It's just Gen Xers.
Christ.
I don't know. That's true, because they're doing that podcast assignment and they were saying that the majority of the students didn't listen to podcasts, yeah. Right?
They listened, the youth, they listened to podcast. Like Joe Rogan and Dax
no.
Shepard or something.
No!
That's, what
that's
to.
Not
I'm
true.
Telling you. I'm telling you that's what they listen to.
Okay, let's not judge entire generations of people on our podcast.
Oops.
Cool. Stranger Things. It's fine. Whoop, some new people will tune in
for
just
things.
The Stranger Things episodes.
And they're
fine.
Good.
That's acceptable.
It's a good series.
It's also interesting that this Show Me a Hero was in the 80s, and now we're going back to the 80s for Stranger Things.
Maybe we should watch Back to the Future. Just, no, I'm just...
Well, I also feel like, does this mean something about Winona? Like, because we had issues with her movies once we got into the 2000s.
She's come full circle
She's
now.
Come back to the 80s and everything's fine again. Yep. It's like she just has to live in the this 80s is, forever.
Maybe that's her thing.
It's where she belongs.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's true.
I just watched a debate that was at the Royal. Do you know the Black Museum series? No. It's like talks about horror.
Oh.
And so they had a debate of the best horror comedy. Allison Lang was one of the debaters. Well, like she was on a team and they debated What We Do in the Shadows. Okay. The best one. The reason I bring this up right now is because Beetlejuice was one of the ones they brought up.
True.
Would you call that a horror comedy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. I felt about it on the... Oh, sure. It's funny, but
and
is it horror?
Scary. Yes.
Okay.
It's funny and scary.
All right. The other two were Shaun of the Dead and Scream. I also take issue with Scream being comedy.
What?
It's not scary movie. It's Scream. Scary movie is comedy. Scream.
Was it kind of postmodern though or something?
Like they had like funny parts with the guy with the Matthew Lillard and, you know, he was funny, but also scary.
Yeah, but aren't a lot of like teen horrors,
and like
Neve
Campbell,
they have like...
Just in general, like, was funny scary?
I don't know. Was she funny? I rewatched it after the debate
because
I was like, I don't know if this is a comedy. But... I guess what I feel is that most like horror movies that involve teens had some jokes just to like lighten the mood. So wasn't that just what Scream was doing? I don't know. Anyway, not here to talk about Scream. Mostly just here to say Beetlejuice was part of that debate, and that's the team.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, what have you done? We didn't even do that in that episode, did we? We definitely said it that many times, probably.
So those who aren't in the studio were very small and were in Chris's miniature village.
Exactly. That's what's happened. That's
literally what has happened.
Didn't make our voices get any higher, but
no.
We got smaller.
We shrunk.
Oh.
Oh, beans can eat us.
We're gonna ride around on beans now. I think we get it. Time to go. All right. Well, Stranger Things next time.
See you next time.
Winona Forever.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next time.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.